The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I have a message today for you, which I've entitled, I Am God. Big subject. Big subject. And I want to speak just a little bit before I read, because the context shall be revealed. It'll be shown in what I'm going to read to you here in just a little bit and then speak to you about it. But the question is, do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? Is there a desire in you? Do you have an interest in these things? Most people do not. I'm being plain. I'm being, you know, most people have a concept already in their heads of what, and I mean what, God is. What they don't want to know is who God is. We have it plainly here in the scriptures. These are inspired by God, written down by men, translated into English for us. It's in black and white in our Bibles. And Bibles are available everywhere in the United States. They're here. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what does he mean when he says, I am God, it's in the scriptures. And that's what I'm going to try and bring forth today. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 46. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. And it says this, remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Isaiah wrote this down, but these are the words of the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things that are written for us. He starts off in verse 8 with these two words, remember this. Why does Isaiah say this? Well, it's pretty simple. We forget. And we are prone to forget. We are prone to forget both willingly and unwillingly. There are some. It is said, Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, there are some that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's not a good place to be, but it's a fact. This is the way some people are. They don't want to know God. Does that shock you? You know, in this area, people are awfully religious. There have been surveys where you go to the mall and you ask people, and 98% of them say they are Christians. But I'll tell you this, 98% of the people in the mall don't know God. And that's just a flat-out fact. They don't know, wait a minute, let's be clear, this God that Isaiah was writing of, that spoke to Isaiah, and he wrote down his words. But we are to remember this. We are to remember this. And show yourselves men, not children, not dumb beasts. Show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. This is where men are, and this is what men do. They are transgressors of God's law. They transgress the law. They break the law. They don't keep the law. Remember this and show yourselves to be men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Then he tells us what to remember. Remember the former things of old. God has moved in this world all along the way, all throughout time. He was the one who created this world. He made everything that was made. He's been here. We don't see him. We don't know him, not naturally, but God has been doing things. And in this specifically, it is written to Jews. And one of the things they always go back to is remember when the Lord carried thee out of Egypt. Why? That had never happened before. And I'll tell you this, it has never happened since, to where a group of people, some estimate around 2 million. There was over 600,000 fighting men named up that were over the age of 20, numbered. They counted them. That left Egypt. They were slaves. And God brought them out with a mighty hand. God brought them out. They had the Passover, and they were sent out by Pharaoh. And God brought them out with his mighty hand. He forced Pharaoh to release them, to thrust them out, just like he said. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God. You understand? God does things. I know that seems kind of strange nowadays. God is not sitting in the heavens twiddling his thumbs, waiting to see how everything's going to work out down here on this planet that he created. He did not create. I swear it sounds like there are preachers out there who have a tendency to proclaim almost, to paraphrase, that God has a hands-off policy on the earth. No. You read these scriptures from beginning to end, Old Testament and New, you will see the work of God from beginning to end. He made man. He put him forth in the garden. He thrust him out of the garden. He brought the flood that killed all except 8 souls were saved in the ark. He brought Israel out of Egypt. But before that, he had sent Israel into Egypt. Then he brought them out of Egypt. Our Lord, the Lord, does mighty things and has done mighty things of old. Why? For I am God. And here's a definition for you. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. You understand? There's only one God. There is only one Lord. That's all there is. There is none else. None. In the beginning part of this chapter, he was talking about idols. Bel and Nebo in particular. And Bel and Nebo stoopeth. This is verse 1. Their idols were upon the beast. These were the gods that people were worshiping. And when their country was captured, when their country was invaded and conquered, guess what? These idols made of gold and silver, these gods that people worship, they got stuck on the back of carts and beasts and were hauled away. They weren't very good gods. No, they were no god at all. I am God. There is none else. It says, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. What? Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden. Those idols, those gods supposedly, were a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, but they could not deliver the burden, it says. Verse 2. But themselves are gone into captivity. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the God of the Bible, the sovereign God of the Bible. I am God. There is none else. There's none like me. These idols, Paul said it. We know an idol is what? Nothing. Nothing. I am God. There is none else. No idol is anything at all. It's a making of a man's imagination. Verse 6 of the same chapter says, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh in silver the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship that idol. The Lord says, I am God. There is none else. There's none like me. How is he unlike anyone else? He tells us here. You understand? Here's where God is. This is where God is. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's a bit different than those idols. Those idols were taken captive. These people bowed down and worshiped those things, and they were taken captive. This is the God of the Bible here now that Isaiah is writing about. Remember this. Remember this. Remember the former things of old. And remember this. From the beginning, God declared the end. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wondrous? Declaring means to publish, to declare, or to proclaim. From the beginning, God declared the end. Now, let me be very clear. This is not foreseeing. You understand? I know people go out there and say, oh, well, God knows everything. God sees everything. He knows what's going to happen. No, it's not that. God does know what's going to happen. Why? Because God does his pleasure. And how much of his pleasure does he get to do? All of it. All of his pleasure. All of it. This is the fact that from the beginning, God declared, he declared it. This is a fact. This is what the end shall be. That's a whole lot different than foreseeing. Oh, God knows what's going to happen in the future. No, 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 no. God has declared what is going to happen in the future. God has declared it, and he shall bring it to pass. Our God is in the heavens. Isn't that nice? Some people say that. They leave out the next part. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You understand? There's no holding God back. There's no stopping the Lord of glory. There's no slowing down the Lord of glory. If you really want to know the truth, there's not. You can't stop God. You can't hold God. You can't thwart God's will. There are people who think that it can. There are people who teach that they can. There are people who preach that men thwart the will of God. It never happened. It will never happen in the future. It's never happened in the past. And it's not happening now. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done, and I'll put it this way, he is doing, and he shall do, whatsoever he hath pleased to do. And it's not up to you, to me, or anyone else. This is God's work we're talking about. I am God. That's what it means. My counsel shall stand. And see, it's not just what God has purposed. No, no, no. And I will do all my pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? There's a God. There is a God who is actually God. There is a Lord who is actually reigning. And he reigns supreme. He reigns sovereignly. He reigns completely. He does all his pleasure. Do you hear that from many pulpits today? I don't think so. I don't. I've listened. I hear people preaching about a poor Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of glory. Jesus is the one that from the beginning declared the end. Jesus is the one who will do all his pleasure. He is the Lord of glory. He is the voice of God. He is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He was God manifest in the flesh. By him were all things created. By him and for him. And guess what? He'll do all his pleasure. But these people get out there and they'll preach a God who can't save. They'll preach a Jesus who needs your help. That's not what the book says. My arm is not short that it cannot save. That's what God said. You know what? Salvation is his work. It says it. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, that's what that means. It's of the Lord. Salvation is his work. Salvation is his. And his counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, I'm not going to go into this, but God sends whom he sends to do what he wants done. And if that included conquering Israel and carrying them away captive, so be it. It happened. And he brought them out of that captivity. Guess what? Who did it? He did it. He did it. Why? From the beginning, he declared it to be that way. And he's doing all his pleasure. But hear these words. Hear these words. Yea. This is the latter part of verse 11. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also, what? Do it. I will do it. I will do it. I will also bring it to pass. I will do it. Now, is that the God that's preached from where you go to church? Where you've been to church? This is the God of the Bible. And you understand, God has not changed. I have never changed. He says, Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord. I change not. So, if in the Old Testament this is God, what is it today? Well, he has spoken it. He has brought it to pass. He's purposed it. He's done it. And if he has purposed it and it's not been done yet, it shall be done. This is no made up stuff. This is what the Lord God Almighty says about himself. And this is who we have to do. We have to do with him. This is the God of the Bible. This is the one whom some people do not like to retain knowledge of. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. This is the God they don't want to retain. This is where we are. This is the God of the Bible. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I will do it. Now, look at the next bit of this. It says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. That's where we are naturally. Far, far from righteousness. But what does God say? I bring near my righteousness, not yours, my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Wait a minute. You're equating salvation with I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. God's purposed it, and God will do it. Ooh, you got the point. That's exactly the point. Everything in this world happens by the power of God, by the will of God, by the purpose of God. If he's purposed it, he'll do it. Now, I understand, what about evil? What about Hitler? What about World War II? What about the ISIS in the Middle East? And if God didn't purpose it, it wouldn't be happening. I know that's harsh for some people. That is hard for some people. And guess what? Our Lord told people some stuff, and they turned away from him by the thousands. They left him because of some of the things he said. But you understand, my counsel shall stand. God said that, and I will do all my pleasure. I don't understand what's all going on in the world. To me, the Middle East is one of the biggest messes that there ever was. But God knows. He's purposed it. He shall do all his pleasure. And he right now is doing all his pleasure. But here in this context, he says, my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. The Lord has purposed to save his people. And yes, he has spoken it. And yes, he will bring it to pass. Yes, he has purposed it. And yes, he will also do it. Let me read you something else here. This is going to be from Acts chapter 15. Now, this is where Paul and Barnabas went back to Jerusalem because they had been preaching to the Gentiles. Peter stood up to defend them and said, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, Peter preached to Cornelius and his household, should hear the word of the gospel, what? And believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. That's what Peter said. After Peter was done, James answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You understand, this is talking about salvation. And to this agree the words of the prophet. And I will build the ruins of the tabernacle thereof. The tabernacle of David had fallen. And the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who what? Doeth all these things. My goodness. Now, here's the description of God. I am God. Here's the description of the salvation of God by James, the apostle. Peter, Paul, Barnabas, they're all there. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. That's foreknowledge, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the truth of God concerning salvation. That's the truth of I am God. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. That's Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Do you know God, this God? I hope you do.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.